The following audio is from Living Acts Church in Tyler, Texas. For more information about the church, you can visit our website, www.livingactschurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Living Acts Church.
If you guys turn in your Bible to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4 is going to be our text. I've been given a short window, and I know that Resurrection Sunday is kind of a big Sunday. There's a lot to discuss. There's a lot to talk about. Just in the resurrection itself, that's huge. That's a T-bone steak. I mean, that's huge. But what's interesting, when you look over the pages of the New Testament, what you find is it's intriguing. Whether it be Paul or Peter or John or whoever, when they pick up the doctrine of the resurrection and they want to deploy it, it's interesting how they do it. You don't see them as much go back and kind of recite or restate the historical details of the resurrection, as important as they are. And we don't want to discount those. And they do talk about the future resurrection. That's something they do quite often. But when Paul is talking to his churches, or John or Peter, when they're talking to their people about the resurrection, they speak of it as a present power. They speak of it as something that, in a sense, can be attained even in this life. It's something that means more than just, and I don't mean to discount it or minimize it in any way, it means more than just what happened in history, okay? And it means more than just what will happen in the future when we are resurrected, but there's something as we're in between these two resurrections, there's a resurrection power at work in the people of God. So when they talk about Christ being raised, it's interesting how fast they go to you immediately. And you look at our text this morning and you'll see that. Paul immediately jumps to that. Christ has been raised, we have been raised. He speaks of Christ as our life, that we are not to seek the things of the earth, but we are to seek the things which are above where Christ is. When he appears, who is our life, we will also appear with him in glory. And that's summation of that. But see what he does. He takes the resurrection and he replants it into the minds of the people so that they can understand that on this day, every day is Resurrection Sunday. Every day is the day that Christ lives. But what we have to understand is that when the resurrection occurred, there was so many things that occurred along with it. You can see movies about what happened in history, but what happened spiritually is that we were all raised with him. That's what Paul is pointing them to. You received new life, right? That life is being kept perfectly held and secure, or hidden, as Paul would put it, in God, with God in Christ. Right? There's an important thing Paul's wanting to communicate to his people. In order for you to understand your life, you have to go after Christ. In order for you to know who you really are, you have to pursue him. Now see, it's such a simple truth, but I'm telling you, I wasted so many years of my life because I didn't know it. Because I didn't know it. I mean, just put your finger right here on your pulse. See if you can find it. I had trouble finding mine this morning. Just put your finger right there. Can you feel it? I can feel mine a little bit. This is scary. Right, there we go. I can feel it. So we all have life. We feel a pulse, right? And we breathe air, heart beating, everything else. We have life. But we all want to feel alive. So if I asked you that, do you want to feel alive? All of us know what that means. We all get it. We all understand what that means. Yes, I want to feel alive. That means when I'm in a moment in time when all of my sensations and impulses and desires are being met by something greater, something bigger than me, right? So you hardly ever feel alive when you're playing checkers. Unless you beat the person you're playing checkers with, and they're really good. In other words, you feel more than who you are. You're in the midst of something great. And so what Christ has done in the cross and in the resurrection is he has given the people that he came to save an impartation of what is in himself, which is life. The scripture talks about Christ as the life. He didn't say, I know a way to another life, right? Or to a better life. He said, I am life. He has life in himself. The Godhead has life in their self. The Father has life. He has given life unto the Son. Both of them can give life. So they don't ever not feel alive. They're always full of life in themselves. We're not. We have a pulse. We have life. But we don't always feel alive. Why? Because we don't have life within ourselves. We seek it from other things. We look for it in other things. So we gravitate to those things that make us feel alive. The only problem is that every time we can get our hand on something, it evaporates. It disappears. It disappoints. Okay? And so Christ comes on the scene in John 1. It's an awesome word that the Apostle John uses in John 1. And it's an old philosophical word. Predates Christ. And it meant the reason for living. So John points to Christ and he says, the reason for living has taken flesh. Life himself, what everyone's looking for, has become incarnate. Okay? Paul is taking his readers and saying, you're covered in earthly stuff and worldly stuff. You don't need to focus on those things. You need to focus on Christ where your life is. You see what he does? Because you have been raised. So let me go back a little bit and then we'll get back to Colossians 3. The reason why we do this silly thing called grabbing a hold of things that are never going to give life or never do what they promise or seem to is because we were connected with the life source. We were alive, all right? There was no sense of, Adam and Eve didn't walk around going, what are we going to do? We just really need to pump things up. I mean, everything was cool with Adam and Eve at one time. But they were severed through sin from the life source himself and began to experience decay. They began to seek after everything else to get back that life, to get that alive feeling. And everything kept disappointing. Now, I mean, I don't know what your testimony's like. I don't know what you've been through, but I can tell you I have searched the world, okay, almost. I mean, I've looked at everything. I've poured into everything. I was a crazy, crazy hedonist before Christ saved me. I would do whatever just to get a high, just to feel alive. That's the way I live most of my life. And I learned what C.S. Lewis wrote, popular quote. It's his Apologetic to Desire, but he said, if you find in yourself desires for which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only reasonable explanation is you were meant for another world. C.S. Lewis maybe took the same track I did. When I read his biography, he didn't really. It was more intellectual, whereas mine was just other things. But we all go the same path. Or Augustine, our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. All of us are seeking after life. We're all trying to find it, and it keeps evading us. So when you hear Paul say something like this, for me to live is Christ. Right? Christ is my life. He's not just saying like we would say, my kids are my life, or you know, my job is my life, or running is my life. He's going much deeper than that. He is not only the source of my life, he's the sustenance of my life. He's what I savor. He's in everything. He's all over the place. He is my life. And he has the right course. He's got the right perspective. He understands it. He gets it. Christ is our life. Not only is he the source of my life, he gave me life, but he is life itself, to which all other lives depend. Make sense? It's simple. But so many people don't understand that concept because they're constantly trying to figure out who they are, right? Their identity. Who am I? What am I? And what do they do when they ask that question? I mean, what do you assess yourself by? Well, you look at your feelings, you look at your past, you look at your skin, you look at all of the stuff to try to figure out who they are. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13:12, he describes himself as not even really understanding who he was, that he wouldn't even know fully who he was until he saw Christ. Isn't that interesting? The Apostle Paul is saying, I won't even fully know me until I know him. And when I know him, then I will be known as I'm. You know what I'm, you see what he's saying? I need to seek after Christ before I can even understand who I am. It's crazy. And so Christ not only died for our sins and rose from the dead, he's literally standing in all of history is saying what everybody's looking for. His claims were like this. All of his claims were too over the top. And so he can't be just thrown in he's just another one of those guys. No, he's not another one of those guys that just proclaimed himself to be. No way. His claims were too lofty. He didn't say, I know the way to truth. He said, I am truth. Who does that? He didn't say, I know the way. He said, I am it. I am life itself. Now, if these claims are true and all of our lives depend on that source, as Colossians 1 states, then Paul's helping his church out by saying, then why in the world aren't you seeking him with everything that you have? Because if their objection is, well, yeah, but my life. No. Your life is in Christ. As you know him more and as you seek him more, you will discover more of who you are. See, Paul wants to honor the resurrection. He wants to honor it. He wants his people to honor it. He doesn't want, as I don't want for you guys, to show up on an Easter Sunday, say, yeah, Jesus rose from the dead. Yeah, I believe it again. And then go back and live another earthly-minded, worldly life. All right? What Paul would say is if you want to honor the resurrection, if you want to live out the power of the resurrection, then seek Christ with everything in your power, everything in your strength. So the truth that I discovered that really I wish I'd have known a long time ago, because I was a hedonist, because I sought after so much pleasure, here's what I wished I'd have known. And it's in this long quote that I broke down for you. But this is what Colossians 3, 1-4 is saying to us. If we wish to seek after ourselves, that is to know who we are, we should seek Christ. No man truly seeks himself that doesn't seek Christ. Now think about that for a minute. If we wish to seek after ourselves, to know who we are, we should seek Christ. No man truly seeks himself that doesn't seek Christ. Now let me pause right there before I go to the next one. You hear in the church, and it's true, there's a saying that we need to deny ourselves. We need to deny ourselves, take up a cross, and follow him. Right? Lose your life. That's true. Very true. Thought I was going to say it wasn't. And you're like, yes. That's what I love to hear. Love this church. No, that's true. Self-denial is a huge deal, right? But there's a counterpart to that. There's a positive end to that. And I've never heard it in my whole life. I grew up in church. Never heard it in my life. Deny yourself, follow Christ. But what I didn't know and what I was never told is that if I follow after Christ and I seek after him, I am also, by default, seeking after who I really am. That I'm not just going after Christ by himself, but in other words, I'm going after also, by going to Christ, the life that is in Christ, that is me. That's what Paul is saying. Your life is in Christ. Go after it. That is who you are. Go after that. Seek after him. This is what I've experienced, though. Second part, the more effectual our seeking after him, the more effectively we seek ourselves. Listen to that. The more effectual our seeking after him, the more effective we seek ourselves. The more we seek ourselves and not Christ, the more we destroy ourselves. Isn't that true? The more we seek after us and not Christ, the more we destroy who we are. Isn't that true? If you're just trying to figure out who you are and you're wanting anything in the world to tell you and you just start grabbing a hold of stuff and just devouring it, what happens? You have this insatiable desire of delight that has to be satiated. It has to be appeased. You want to know who you are and God has put eternity in our heart and you're wanting something in that world to meet it. So you just begin to go after things and devour things over and over and over again. And what happens? Nothing meets the demands. So this is what happens. In seeking only self, we are always looking and further hiding the thing we seek. In seeking only self, we are always looking and further hiding from ourselves the thing we seek, and then becoming more sinfully aggressive and brutal seekers. The longer you look, the worse it gets, because the harder you will try to get it. I did this too. This is why sin graduates. At first, it starts out small, and then it begins, then you get hungrier. The pains get stronger, and you begin to want more, and you become brutal, more like monsters. What are these people doing? They're trying to figure out, they're trying to feel something in them that God was meant to feel and understand who they really are. They can't understand. A young boy has no idea why. He has all of these desires in him, huge desires. And the only thing he's told growing up is, don't do that. Those impulses, stop it. Just give me a break. I've got all these impulses. And you're looking at a person who has a lot of impulses and desires. I can tell you that, all right? I'm a hungry soul. I want a lot of stuff. I love stuff. God help me. There's a lot of earthly mindedness in here. But when you take a young boy and you say to him, you know, all that stuff in you, it's wrong, it's evil, stop it. You just need to read your Bible and pray. And they're like, what in the world? See, Christianity's pointing us to something that's saying he is that way to appease that unappeasable want. He is that way to satisfy that longing. He is life itself, not another life, life itself. So we become more like beasts if we do not seek Christ. So our life is in Christ. As Christians, our life is hidden, kept secure in Christ. This is the beautiful part. If we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, then our lives are kept secure. He's not only the source of our life, they're actually kept secure in Christ, held for us perfectly. That's what Paul says. Hidden just means secure. It's kept. It's safe. This is what I read from an old writer a long time ago. His name was Hugh Martin, Scottish. But it's beautiful. As he describes what is being kept for us in Christ, this new life, he calls it the glorious asylum. I love that. But this is what's being kept for us Christians, this life. He says that in this place where Christ is keeping it, in Christ, no evil reaches up to prey upon the vitals of your life, to dry up its fountains, to embitter its ever-flowing streams, to taint those waters that flow forth from the throne of God and of the Lamb. No adverse influence dwells there, and you can take none then in there with you. On the chamber's threshold, sprinkled by the atoning blood, you leave behind all guilt that entails your death. You pass in, delivered from all condemnation, and in your renewed believing view of the precious blood, your love of all known sin, as well as the guilt, vanishes utterly, and you pass in with a true and pure heart. No enemy can follow you in or disturb you. They can't even find the door. They may grope for it as the blind, but they find it not. In there, you have safe retreat. The life that God has for his children is being kept perfectly secure for them. Now, what that means is that you live in this kind of double place. Here, you realize, as a Christian, you finally come to your senses. In order for me to know who I really am and to experience all that God has given me and to understand all of it, really, everything, the world and all that's in it, I have to go after the source itself. I have to, in a sense, abandon who I thought I was, and I have to go after Christ and what I know of him. And Paul would say it also, I will, everything that I have done, all the stuff, Philippians 3, everything that I thought was me, I count it all as dung for the sake of knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection. You see what Paul does? That's me now. I'm going that way. And in that direction, I will find Paul. You don't have to pick. And you don't have to get anybody else to tell you who you are. Christ can tell you that. He's the source of our life. And while we are pursuing him on the earth, we know, we just know as Christians, because of the truths of Scripture, that that life is being held perfectly for us until we reach a state of glory. So that means that although here we may struggle on earth, we may strive yet cleave to the dust, we may have days where we don't feel spiritual at all, and I know I have them all the time, but in those days we can say like the prophet Habakkuk said, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will take joy in the God of my salvation. You see what happens? And the whole world collides. Now everything makes sense. Everything makes sense. He's not just the giver of life, and he's not just the one that rose from the dead, because yes, he is life, life. You know, it's just, it's gonna happen. And he sprung back up, but we have been raised with him, and Paul points to the church and says, that's where you need to go, and everything in your life needs to be that pursuit. That's where we need to go. And then an interesting dynamic happens. Before we were saved, we sought only ourselves. That's all we did. That's all we knew to do. And we made gods in whatever image we thought would make us more us. That's all gods are. They're just things made in our image. We're just, this is what gives me identity, therefore I will worship it. Right? So everything's been flipped. So we just sought after ourselves and we fashioned gods in our own image, and that's what all that stuff in the Old Testament's all about. If you're new to the Bible, like, what were they doing with a calf? You know, ours is just as silly. But after Christ finds us and we are saved, it is only then that we begin to truly seek after him the way we were supposed to. And here's what's interesting. Just because you become a Christian doesn't mean you stop seeking Christ. That's when it starts. That's when it really takes off. So show me a person that doesn't say, yeah, Christ, I know him, but says, I want to know him. I want to know him with all of my being. I want to know him. I want to know him with everything in me, my mind. I'm not that smart, but I will become whatever I need to become so that I can understand and savor with my mind and love him, or my heart, or my body, anything and everything. I will go after Christ because he is my life. He is my life. So it seems as though most of my life, I wished I'd have known that. I wished I'd have known that. So now I can tell you, as I've told myself a million times, and please understand me, guys, please hear this. I know if any of this was complex, just get this. Do I go after me or do I go after Jesus? I'm hearing on Easter, Brandon's telling me to seek myself. I mean, what kind of church is this? What I'm telling you is that, guys, that's where it all started, with Jesus, with the Godhead. We have no business, no right to seek anything else. He's risen from the dead to prove it. I can't die. You are. Do you see the problem? Right? Go to the source. And for those people that are here this morning that are confused, saying, you know what? I'm trying to understand if all this is real. I don't even know if any of this is real. It sounds made up, you know? And they're with their minds and crazy history and past and all the flaws in them, they're trying to understand God through a broken vessel when they don't even really know who they are. Understand what Christ said of himself. Accept that in faith and begin the journey of pursuing him, and you'll honor the resurrection. You'll honor it the way Paul wanted us to honor it. So the big question is, and I close with this, the big question is, well, gosh, if that's my life, if Christ is my life, I can't even look at myself the same way anymore. I don't even know who I am. And the only way I can find it is not to seek after Brandon, but to seek after Christ. So I get that part, but how do I seek him? How do I do it? We can do a whole series on that if we wanted to, but maybe we will. But I'll give you four things. These are called the means of grace. Understand that in your pursuit of Christ, he has to take the initiative at every level. He reveals himself. It's called grace. It's called grace. So along the way, You are using what's called the means of grace to have God reveal himself to you. That means these are the ordinary places or things that God usually reveals himself to us in. Just four or five. But one, prayer. This is not meant to be complex, guys. We ask him to reveal himself to us. It starts that way, and guess what? It continues that way. If you've been going to church your whole life and you think you understand Christ, you're a fool, right? Continue to seek after him and know him. The people that have really dove into him the most and studied the most, can I get an amen over here in the interns? The more you study him, I mean, I was waiting for you guys. I was like, Easter. So the more you study him, the more you learn of him, the more you think, I don't even know what I'm doing. This is crazy. He's so huge. He's so big. And so but what does that make you do? Ah, forget it. You know, no, it makes you go, I'm going harder. I'm going to buy more books and my wife's going to get mad at me. I'm going to go harder. Amen. Right? There's the amen. Finally. But you pray. You are in a humble state throughout all of your life. That's how you get in. If you're looking into Christianity, you don't know if it's true, and you say, well, I don't know what to do. Ask God to reveal himself to you. Say, please show me who you are. I see it in these people. They're going after this. I want that. I see their lives. I want that. I want to see that in me. Pray. Number two, his word. His means of grace, his living word, pouring over our souls daily, needs to be the scriptures of God in our mouth, in our hearts. This is what Paul says a little while later, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Paul's just saying, don't just get around and memorize scripture. Get it in your heart. I want it to go from here to here and then catch fire, right? Theology on fire, lit up. I want my people to get it, understand it, and then let it burn. And then when you just can't take it anymore, start singing about it. That's what he says in the next verse. So get in his word. It's living. It's alive. It's a means of grace. God will speak to you. Number three, community. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. When you get around the people of God and you start to kind of share in life together. That's what we call the value of our church, life together, right? And what we meant by that is we didn't mean we're sharing our lives together, because there are some people I don't want to do that with. So, just kidding. I love all of you. But we're sharing life together. There is a life, and we're all sharing it together. It's the life of Christ, right? It's his life. We all get to share in it together. So you come together in the community, and you get to see that's what they're doing. They're sharing in this life. Number four, obedience. This is the forgotten means of grace. How do you receive grace? You do what he says. And sometimes you're imparted grace along the way. Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God, the Father, through him. And the last way is in his ordinances, in the sacrament, specifically the Lord's Supper. That's why we chose to do it today. When you come to this table, and Michael will probably attest to this, everything in this church, we pretty much like just keep beating it over and over and over again. It's about knowing Christ. Because of God, we get to be with God. That's the gospel, is being with him. So everything we do is about seeking him. Nothing's just rote ritual, and we do that. Everything is about, I want to know him more. I want that craving. Maybe you're saying, I don't have it. I lost it. It just got, you know, caught up in all the things of the world and it's gone. But God, give it back to me or make it larger. Happiest people on the planet. And that's what we do at the table. We come and we get to feed on Christ by faith. And so that's what we're going to do now as a church on this Resurrection Sunday, is take part in this sacrament together. If Bob and Mark, if you guys will come on up and stand up here with me. Good Friday was a very good Friday. As we meditated on the Lord's death together, There's a few remarks I want to make as we kind of get into the table together, remembering it is the death of him, Christ, who is the life, who remained the life even in death, but who by being raised now gives the dead life. Christ's death was a death-conquering, death-extinguishing death, death in perfection. And since death is life's enemy, it was a death that brought death's enemy, eternal life. So when you put the cross and the resurrection together, here's what you get. The devil's scepter is now severed. His wrongful throne is leveled. His head is crushed. His tail is weakened. The claims of justice are satisfied. Now in Christ I died. In him I rose. In his life I live. In his victory I triumph. In his ascension I shall be sanctified. In his mediation I will be assured. And in his exaltation I shall be glorified. All that Christ did has an immediate effect on me now. He is worth it, and he is our everything. And he says in John 6:57, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. As you come to this table, may that be your heart this morning. May you come seeking him. May you repent this morning if that hunger to want to know him more has faded. May that be what's resurrected this morning. As the prophet says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. May that be what happens in your heart this morning. And some of you are here just to hear what I needed to hear a long, long time ago, and that is, he is our life. He is the life. And what have I been doing with all this stuff? And should have been seeking him. So take a moment, just bow your heads with me, and God, I thank you for rising from the dead. I thank you for being our life, for being life itself, for being the source of our life. God, forgive us, because there are many in this room, myself included, that have obeyed the thirst and gone after things that are vain. And no matter how many times we experience it, we continue to do the same thing, getting the same exact results. These things don't give life, they depend on it. And they've been feeding on me as much as I've been feeding on them. Why have I turned my eyes away from the one who is the life, from the one who is life himself? If that's you this morning, and just confess that sin to the Lord and repent of it. And even if you've lost your passion, if that's you, repent of that also. It is a great evil to not hunger and thirst after the living God. It is a great evil. So confess that sin to him and say, God, I don't know what's taking it. I don't know what's affecting it, but show me what it is so that I can get rid of it, so that I can peel it away from me. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're just wanting to find this Christ who is the life. Because maybe that helps identify what you've been looking for years. And though this table is not for you, it's just for those who have faith in Christ, just sit there and meditate on these truths and ask God to reveal himself to you this morning. Show you who he is. He will speak to your heart. He will reveal himself to you in a powerful, powerful way. And very personal too. God, we come to this table. I just want to thank you for your death and thank you for the empty tomb and the cross both put together. Just, it changes everything. This was the weekend that saved the world. If they'd only know its Savior, if they only knew, if they only understood, this is much more than just another religion. He is the source of all things. By him, through him, for him were all things created. He is life itself. Thank you so much, Jesus, for being that for us. Love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information on Living Acts Church, please visit our website, www.livingactschurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/livingactschurch.